we're going in like it's we're the road team in a playoff game. You can always adjust the other way if that's the case. But I know their fans are very passionate about their team, and like we've said all along, we were getting on a plane to go play a road playoff game, and our fans travel well. We know that. We've seen that all season long, and we've got to go into it knowing that the environment and the circumstances, especially coming off of last Sunday where we got to feel it at a pretty significant level and work through it. Hopefully we can extract that experience and apply it to being a road playoff team.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Kevin O'Connell talking about his team as they get ready for tonight's game. By the way, tonight's wild card weekend finale, when the Vikings take on the Rams from Arizona, we will have it for you here.
Damn right.
Coverage on the Score, courtesy of our friends over at Westwood One, starts at 6:30 on the Score and the Odyssey app.
That's us. You'll get it right here. Kevin O'Connell going against his old team, his old boss in Sean McVay, but it's in Arizona, game not in Los Angeles. The fires have been crazy, man. I've been watching the coverage all weekend long and thinking about just, you know, that whole town of like, it's always been built with this precarious relationship to nature. Mm-hmm. To begin with, like, I can't tell you how many times I'd see a house when I was out there on any of those canyons, those beautiful canyons that's like on stilts, essentially. The house is on stilts, and you're like, how is that even possible that house is there? How do you trust that? Or like, you know,
we got some of that here. Like, if you go look around in Bridgeport, there's a lot of houses that are built like that, and you go, oh, that's an interesting design.
Mm-hmm.
And what will it take? Like what can it withstand? And in California, like, you're seeing, man, it's just...
It was like audacious to build it out there where the water's not even there. You got to get the water from someplace else, and it's like a desert right on the water and right on the ocean, and the winds come in and the fires come in, and like, and there's drought, and it's like, but we have the audacity, or the Odyssey, I always mix it up, to like build a whole city out there and turn it into what it's turned into. But on top of fault lines, like, everybody knew that sometime nature was going to fight back, and it's fighting.
There's a risk, and you know, like, that for all of those beautiful sunsets that you see, or people, like, I mean, you know, you lived out there.
Yeah, man. And you fetishize it and aspire to, like, live in the canyons and live in these precarious, like, oh man, I'm right there in the middle of it. But woof, scary stuff. A lot of people out there very freaked out because your whole relationship to nature is getting challenged, you know?
Yeah.
And like, on the lowest end of importance of that stuff is sporting events getting canceled and moved and having to be dealt with. And that's our milieu, and we'll stay in that. But just find myself thinking about the bigger stuff all weekend long.
I was happy that the NFL didn't waste a lot of time with this. Like, I give them credit over at 3:45. They were like, hey, this is a problem, and we need to start already thinking about solutions. Like, okay, what's the closest place that we know we could get something done? And like, okay, we're going to send it to Arizona. And then, like, 2 days later, they were like, no, we're moving.
Bing, bang, boom.
We are moving this whole operation so that everyone can get on board with it. And if you're the team, if you're the Rams, the likelihood that you've been affected by this is high. The likelihood that if it hasn't been you personally, it's someone you know, is really, really high.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think about that as being a part of it too, on like, how do you get yourself prepared to do what you need to do to protect yourself and to try and win, with that being something that's weighing on your mind. I haven't heard any stories about, you know, Rams players' houses being in the middle of this, but I imagine that there are some.
There's a great story on The Athletic from Jordan Rodriguez about the Rams' reality changing the way it did over the weekend. And I was looking at it, where like, this one of the guys on the Ram, Rob Havenstein, who I think was a coach, was working on stuff, and they're all kind of like, they had their practice and there's some blue sky. And then he like looks up and he's like, wait a minute, I see there's dark smoke over there. And he's like, oh, wait, I think I live over there. And And like a whole bunch of the equipment staff and coaches and others like ran from the field to the parking lot to grab their phones and were like checking it out to figure it out. And like the whole Rams reality changed in about 4 hours from earlier in the day. McVay saying, I think we're going to be okay. Yeah, we're going to stay here. We're going to play in the game. And then like 4 hours later, they're frantically making plans to get the hell out of there. And everybody is like had to adjust and try to figure this out.
Well, there was also going into the weekend, there was the worry of what if you end up in a weird situation 2 weeks from now where the Chargers and the Rams are hosting NFC and AFC title games. And how do you navigate that as a league with two teams in different conferences that share the building? Yeah. How do you make all of that stuff work?
30 players and coaches had to evacuate their homes.
I'm not surprised.
On Sunday or Saturday afternoon. I think
and that logistical, I'm always fascinated when teams move. Like you'll see it later on this week with the Cubs caravan when they pack everything up and you see the trucks like going down to Sloan. That's something that you plan for months as a baseball team. A football team, you're asking an entire operation to move in a week.
Yeah.
To get down there and then get prepared while you have guys wondering about their own homes.
It's crazy.
Their friends' homes. Like all of that stuff.
How do you not think advantage Vikings in a situation like that?
You're basically playing a bowl game. Now, granted, Los Angeles to Phoenix, there are a lot of transplants going both ways. So it will be a partisan LA crowd because there are already a lot of Rams fans who live in Arizona.
But just the mental focus and the what you're talking about for all these players and everybody involved to like focus on their jobs. The Vikings were going on the road anyway, you know?
Right. Yeah, and I do think it makes their lives easier.
To be in Arizona, I'll show you. They don't have to deal with the volatile home crowd or whatever. But like, but either way, it's like they're playing a road game now. It's in a different spot, and they won't have the home thing. And the Rams are the ones that are having to adjust and not feel the benefit of having their own locker room and everything.
Let's ask Pete Bursich about this. He's our friend, and he joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today, Pete. Thanks so much for joining us. What's this been like for the Vikings? Has it just been business as usual because they were playing on the road no matter what?
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, I think a couple things in how this game goes will definitely be a good tell. Part of it is getting your rear end kicked by Detroit might have helped because it might have woken some of these guys up. You had an extra day of film. You had to figure these things out. And, you were able to learn a lesson and have it not cost you the season. Now, for us, it's an away game. It doesn't matter where this plane goes. It doesn't matter where the plane lands. You know, you're playing on the road. Now, the atmosphere is going to be different. I don't think we'll have to deal with the crowd noise. I mean, I don't think we were expecting a ton of it at SoFi to begin with. But we've experienced something similar to this back in the day when the dome collapsed in Minnesota because of snow and we had to play the Giants in Detroit, and there were just yards of homeless people that wanted to get out of the cold to come in and watch the game. I don't think today's environment will be like that, but it's definitely going to be different for everybody and everybody on the field. And as a player, the playoff environment is something that's unbelievable, and I don't know if that's going to be the way this game is going to look. It's definitely not going to feel that way, but yeah, I mean, your thoughts and prayers go to everybody out in California, but you know, you wonder how deeply affected are these players with family and friends and everything else, and then having to get on the road and leave people behind. I mean, it's got to be a bit of a distraction for them.
Yeah, for sure. Pete Bursich of the Vikings Radio Network joining us here on Spiegel and Holmes on the Score. So, did Sam Darnold being as bad as he was against the Lions really possibly change the decision on whether to keep him after the great year that he's had? Does one game really change it that much?
No, I don't think so. And I think, well, obviously what he does today could change that whole thing in a hurry. I do think he was off in the beginning. Let's just put it this way. We're 0-6 on our last away primetime game. So there's a problem there that's got to get fixed. the first couple throws to Hockenson early in that game were on him. But then later on, we started having protection issues, and, you know, we're running pick routes because we know we're getting man-to-man. We're not executing. So it's not just one guy, right? It never just is one guy. But for the Vikings, they've got to make a decision as to what is McCarthy. Is McCarthy the day one starter next year? Is that just how it's going to be? And if it is, then you can find a way to maybe keep Darnold around. But Darnold has to agree to it. He's got to be on board with the decision. Because even if you franchise him, and somehow no one takes him away, and you have him next year, you don't want him to be a distraction, right? I mean, it's good news for the Vikings in that they have an asset that they would love to keep. And if he does go away, maybe they can get some draft equity from it. We only have 3 picks in the draft this year, so that's a possibility, you know, to build that up in that regard. From everything we know of and talk about, it's going to be J.J. McCarthy's team next year. So, you know, it's hard to bring in a good veteran with that cloud over it.
P, I'm so fascinated by the job that Kevin O'Connell has done up there and the way that he's been able to handle a bunch of different quarterbacks and get them to play better. So I'm sure there's a lot of belief that he can do all sorts of stuff with J.J., but I'm just curious, how have you seen him turn into a coach of the year candidate?
Well, you hear people talk and they say certain things. It's, you know, like buzzwords, like it's a collaborative effort, right? And you hear these things, and then behind the scenes in reality, it's one guy making decisions. That's not really the case here. It is a collaborative effort. And Kevin O'Connell, we're a quarterback heavy offense, but he does know the fundamentals. He played the position. He was drafted at the position, coached the position, was an offense coordinator. Now he's a head coach. And I hope, you know, I don't think Bears ownership listens to the show all the time, but if they are listening, you guys in Chicago need to take heed of that and say, we need somebody that can bring in and develop our greatest asset that we have, and that is our quarterback. He is the future, right? So you have to build on that. And for the Vikings, that's why I was excited last year when there were 7 guys that were number one first-round draft picks, that we have somebody like Kevin O'Connell in the room that can tell you, knows the position, right? You don't have a defensive-minded head coach making a decision on a quarterback. You've got a guy that knows exactly what he wants, how a guy fits in his offense, and that's the benefit of Brian Flores for this team. Brian Flores has saved this team millions of dollars by bringing in people, for example, like Jonathan Greenard, Andrew Van Ginkel, Blake Cashman, who fit the system. And so you don't have to go out and just sign a bunch of all pros and have guys go out there and make plays. They fit the system that we have here. And that's been it's been a great marriage between Flores and Kevin O'Connell. So hopefully for Vikings, for us, that we can keep this, marriage together, if you will.
Well, let's see about that, shall we? Would you trust Brian Flores as a personality, as a person, as a leader, to handle another young quarterback, to your knowledge?
Yes, 100%. 100%. Let me just say this. Sometimes a guy needs a hug and sometimes a guy needs a kick in the ass, right? I mean, how would it happen if Ditka was still coaching there, right? You wouldn't be getting a lot of hugs. It wouldn't be all, touchy-feely and the whole thing. I would 100% trust Brian Flores and how he deals with, because they're different cats these days. These are different players. It's just a different environment. And Flores, to his credit, doesn't care about the name on the back of the jersey. If he needs a guy, he's going to put him in. You've seen it throughout his career as a coach, bringing in people off the street that you've never heard of, right? Kamu Grugier-Hill has 2 interceptions for us this year. Who's Kamu Grugier-Hill? You ever heard of him? I never heard of him until this year. But the guy comes out and he plays well. He just has a way of getting the best out of whoever is there. And I think as a head coach, across the board, that would be fantastic. My first question, though, would be who's going to be your offensive coordinator? Because you need to have a guy who's proven, and do you want to take a risk on promoting somebody to offensive coordinator to handle that, the offense of the Chicago Bears? So, I mean, you could do a hell of a lot worse than Brian Flores. He would fit in the city of Chicago perfectly. Boston College guy. He doesn't say a whole lot. He's a tough dude, and you can see it. I think with the way our defense is played, he just has that attitude.
Well, Pete, we appreciate you jumping on. We know you're getting ready for this game. Thanks so much. It's going to be a bizarre experience for all of us. We appreciate you giving us a few minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. For you guys, anytime, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Burse. That's Pete Bursich, who believes in Brian Flores getting another shot. Lawrence has his questions. I understand.
I just think that there's been a lot of people have, like, inside this conversation, people have painted Tua as being soft. And I would just say that all you have to do is look at his history, and it would prove that he is not that. So if he feels that way, there must have been some egregious bleep going on.
Well, and then the personality switch to Mike McDaniel is about as drastic as it could possibly
100%.
be. So it's an interesting dynamic,
and
for
maybe
sure.
You need something in the middle of that.
Yeah. Well, maybe once Mike McDaniel gets fired, he can bring him in as your offensive coordinator. And
he likes to run the ball, or at least he used to.
A guy who was almost the Bears coach was getting some love last night, and I want to ask you if it affected you the way that it affected me. We'll talk about that. And then there's quarterback swap stuff at the top of the hour. Is it swap or regerts?
No regerts. We'll get into it on The Score.